Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
From a very wise man many years ago, I heard this truism: we are a product of what we read and those with whom we choose to associate. Well, with that, I wholeheartedly agree. In 1997, I was introduced to a book that absolutely altered the course of my life. It was entitled Roaring Lambs, A Gentle Plan to Radically Change Your World. And that title was chosen by the author, a gentleman by the name of Bob Briner. And he chose that title because he said that while we need to be lamb-like in our disposition, there are times that we need to roar out like lions with respect to the culture in which we live. And of course, Bob Briner, for those of you who may recognize the name, worked for the Miami Dolphins organization in their marketing department in the early part of his career. But from there, he started a media consulting conglomerate and ultimately spent the remainder of his life rubbing elbows with Fortune 500 leaders of companies like Toshiba, Microsoft, IBM, and so on. Now, here's the premise of his book, and that's going to serve as a foundation for what we're going to do on the program today. Briner noted that in the city of Dallas, Texas, where he lived, that there were more Christians per capita in Dallas than almost any other city in the United States of America. And Dallas was the host city for major Christian gatherings, some of those gatherings numbering in excess of 40,000 people. And so with those kinds of events and those kinds of numbers attending, you would think that the Christian influence in Dallas would be great. But the point Briner made was this: Dallas was also the number one city in America for other things like strip clubs, other vices and sinful practices. And Briner's assessment was this: while we can draw large crowds to our Christian events, for the most part, the world does not even know we exist. Hence, he wrote this book, Roaring Lambs, A Gentle Plan to Radically Change Your World. Well, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by the entire team. Dr. Gary Dahl is aboard, Sam Rohr. And in essence, Briner was acknowledging in his book that we as Christians are not doing a good job impacting our culture. And his book served for me and to all those that read it as a roadmap, a workbook, as it were, for how to once again reintroduce the salt and light of our Christian witness into five critical venues. Let me mention those venues, and we're going to deal with at least four of them today. The five venues that Briner said we need to reintroduce our witness to is, number one, journalism; number two, professional sports; number three, public education; number four, politics; and number five, art and entertainment. And so today, this is going to be our general theme: how to become once again a roaring lamb with respect to the culture in which we live. And to help us better understand how we can become that, we have as our guest today one of the lead actors in this new movie that we've talked a lot about on this program. It's called A Question of Faith. It opens nationwide on September 29. And today we have the honor of having with us Amber Neelan Thompson. She has traveled with her family, the Neelans, for years singing Southern gospel music. But most recently, she has accepted the role of one of the lead actors in this phenomenal film. And with that, Amber, let me welcome you to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on the show with all of you.
Well, it's a delight to have you aboard. And Amber, you've been involved in the music industry most of your young life. And I'm going to say this, I know it's not nice to mention, but you're 28 years old. You're young. And in your young life, though, you've done a lot on the musical, in the musical realm. This is your first venture into the acting profession. Tell our audience, if you would, how you were selected to be a part of this outstanding film.
Well, my mom is actually an actress as well, and she's done several different things in her acting career. And she went to this audition for A Question of Faith. We have at the time, she had an acting agent. Because being in that industry, that's what you have to have. And she sent her the auditions for this film. And she went to the audition only to find out that the role that she was trying out for was actually already booked and someone had already gotten the role. And they read my mom's bio, which talked about having a daughter who was a singer, and they had said to her, what does your daughter look like? Because we need her to have like a certain type of hair color, and what kind of music does she sing? And they had a role for a girl who was a singer, and she needed to be around my age. And so my mom said, well, here, just look her up on YouTube. So she got on YouTube and she showed them. And the next day I received an email with an audition from A Question of Faith. I had never acted in a film. I didn't know if I could act in a film. I didn't know if I could act at all. But when I knew that it was a door that God had opened, I was ready to walk through it and just have faith that he somehow would help me through it. And so we got on the phone, and I called a friend of mine. His name is Jeff Rose. He actually is in the film with me. He's an actor. And I asked him to help me learn how to do this and to learn how to do it in a more professional way, but kind of like a fast track so that I could get the audition and get the part. And so I did the audition, sent in the tapes with me doing all the roles they wanted me to do. And the next 2 days went by, I believe it was, and they called me and said, we would love to congratulate you that you have the part of Michelle Danielson. Mm-hmm. And it has been an incredible journey to be in this film with all of these actors and to learn. I really just learned. It's been a learning avenue for me, and it's a totally different path. Like I said, I've never been in this industry before, but I'm loving every second that I've been in it. And it's been an honor, and it's been a humbling experience because if you've read the cast, I'm a nobody compared to the other people that are in this film, these Hollywood actors that are Christians that are in it. I'm just like, I stood there in shock when they would come on set. I was like I was a fan myself. So I was like, hi, I know I'm playing your daughter, C. Thomas Howell, but I'm kind of a big fan.
Well, you know, it's a tremendous thing to recognize, Amber, that it appears as though God is bringing a number of faith-based films into the country these days, and I'm glad that you're a part of it. But I want to ask Nate, because Nate's involved with this to a degree as well. Nate, do you think that the faith-based films that we are seeing today is one of the ways that Christians can or should roar out like lions in our depraved culture? And if so, how?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. I think that it's vital. And, you know, the amazing thing is, and I've told Angela, one of the executive producers of this film, on multiple occasions, and this was actually her first faith-based film that she's ever done. And I've told her, I said, this is very important. I hope that you continue to make films like this, because Hollywood has not realized up until recently that American culture is starving for films like this. And so we do need that, I think, to help train up young people and give them the proper direction that they need in life. So, yes, absolutely, I agree. And that's part of the reason that we wanted to bring the film to Washington, D.C. last week. And we pushed so hard to do this because we wanted members of Congress, faith leaders, to understand that they need to see this kind of stuff.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking briefly with Amber Neilan Thompson and Nathan Kistler. Of course, Amber is one of the lead actors in this new film coming out September 29, A Question of Faith. I apologize, we're not going to have enough time to get more out, but we will have her back. Friends, we want you to join us after the break. We'll continue this discussion of how we can become roaring lambs in our corrupt culture. Don't miss it after this very brief timeout.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore.
Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable health care that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Our theme today is how to become a roaring lamb in a culture that is contrary to everything we believe. And our guest today in segment one was Amber Nealon-Thompson, and she has agreed to stay on in segment two. And we're going to talk with her a little further about this Christian film, A Question of Faith, but more importantly, what's behind the move in the United States of America that is creating, as Nathan said, this incredible appetite for not only faith-based films, but films that have a powerful message that applies directly to life. If you have been following the art and entertainment industry over the last 10 years, you've noticed that there has been indeed a dramatic rise in faith-based films. Films like Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, War Room, God's Not Dead. With most of these films, it's been a church ministry in Albany, Georgia, Sherwood Baptist, that produced a number of the films I just mentioned, that have been phenomenally well received all across the United States of America. And now this newest film, A Question of Faith, which will be hitting theaters September 29, is going to be the next in a long line of these films. Amber, I want to go back to you. I know the film opens on the 29th, and a couple of weeks ago we had actress Kim Fields on. She's one of your fellow actors in the project, and we had her talk a little bit about her involvement. But what is it as an actor for yourself, this first venture that you've been involved in, what is it you're hoping that audiences will come away with? What's the takeaway you're hoping they will come away with after viewing this film?
Well, obviously, our ultimate goal is that it would lead someone to Christ. And that's our top goal, no matter what. And then furthermore, when you see the film, there could not be a better film to come out for this day and time in which we are living right now, especially in our country. It speaks so highly of unity and reaching across to people that probably aren't going to reach across to you. And it's being a light in a world that is very, very dark. And I think that's another thing that we try to portray in the film very strongly, is that we need to love each other. We are losing sight of who we are supposed to be and who God called us to be. And we're focusing so much on rules and regulations and politics and anything else that that can sometimes get in the way, even though they might be good for us. Sometimes we put those in the way of what our real goal should be, and that is to love one another. It's the golden rule. And we focus very strongly on that. Of course, we talk about texting and driving and the importance of being careful of to not do that, especially for teenagers and young adults. And we also talk about organ donation and giving life to someone by the end of someone else's life. And so we touch on a lot of different subjects, and but I think the strongest one is uniting together as a country and loving one another, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background is. And doing that all through the love of Christ that we've received, that's why we can give it to other people, is because he gave it to us.
You know, Amber, that's a tremendous thing. And the idea of loving one another and unity is the message of Christianity. We know that Jesus Christ prayed that for his disciples there in John chapter 17. And if a church or a family or a nation is going to be successful, there must be great unity. And you talked about how that's a theme in this particular film. And my question to you is, does the film actually bring out scripture passages and scripture verses, or is it just the application of those scripture verses that are seen in the text of the film?
Oh, no, it definitely brings up the scripture. In fact, it shows scripture throughout the film when you're watching it. There's actually scripture that pops up during different scenes, and it's there to show you what the Bible says. It's there really for you to watch the scene, and then as soon as that scene is done, a scripture will pop up, and you'll read that scripture, and it kind of all brings it together, and it says, like, this is what God has commanded you to do, depending on what scene you're watching. It shows you different scriptures, and it also has the application with it. It's not, and I hate to say it this way, but it's not a movie that is so, we've heard this from different people, but it's not in your face. It's not so, maybe preachy is the word. And I think they've gotten that a lot in a different other, in different films. Our film is a lot different in that way, as it can reach across different borders. We believe that people that aren't Christians necessarily will come see this film because of different avenues that we've gone down and different subjects. But while they're watching it, they have that tone and they see the scripture of God, and they see that Christianity is very strongly in this film. And anybody that has watched it, I've gone to several different screenings, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a part of it, but if I were just an outsider looking in, it touches you. It really does move you. When you're watching the story unfold and you see how only God could do something that is being done in this film, in the storyline, only he could put together such an incredible story that happens. And people are moved by it. And in fact, a few of the actors actually got saved while making this film.
Wow.
And they have great testimonies, and I don't want to be the one to tell that testimony for them. But if you watch their stories, they have some online. They actually were saved while making this film because it moved them so much. One of the actors were actually an atheist, didn't even believe in God, but was doing faith-based films because it made money and it was getting them through, you know, the daily job, just like we all have to do. And it ended up actually moving them so much that they accepted Christ. And I remember them coming to me on set saying, "What is it that I'm feeling? I feel something different. I've never felt this before." And it was during one of the musical segments. And I then responded and said, "That's the Holy Spirit, and I believe God brought you here for a purpose." Amen. And he brought you here. If this film was for nobody else, if it did nothing else, God's purpose was fulfilled by those two coming to Christ.
Amen.
Well, Amber, that's tremendous impact, and I think whets our appetite.
Very quickly, Nathan, about 30 seconds, give a little bit of how you got to know the Nealands, how we got acquainted with them, and a little bit of that history, because I think our listening audience will find it to be very, very fascinating.
Well, you know, it's amazing how God ordains and preordains things like that. I believe I was 13 years old, and you were preaching, Dad, at the church that the Nealands happened to be working at in Powder Springs, Georgia, in 2003. And I remember I had never had any kind of entrance to gospel music at all, didn't know much about it, and I walked into the church and saw a CD of this group with this pretty girl on the cover when I was 13, and I remember just falling in love with them and their music. And so over the years, when I was 13, they gave me my first stage in gospel music to sing, and throughout the years continuing, they've continued to do so, and so I've always been so appreciative to Amber and her family for being so encouraging in my life, and to bring the film to D.C., God has definitely used all of this for the past many years. So very thankful for that.
Well, friends, again, you've been listening to Amber Neeland Thompson, Nathan Kistler, but they're talking about this film that's coming out again on the 29th of September called A Question of Faith. Please go see it. It's going to be something that will impact your life in an incredible way. Amber, thank you for being aboard. We will have you back, I promise, but we appreciate you being with us. Friends, join us after the break when we talk about another way we can roar out in the culture as Christians, just like in art and entertainment.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. If you're just joining us, we've been discussing for the last two segments how to become a roaring lamb with respect to our culture. You may think that's an odd analogy. What is a roaring lamb? Well, it's a phrase taken from a book written by Bob Briner, and he said, we need to be lamb-like in our disposition, but there are times when we need to roar out like lions with respect to our culture. And so in this segment, we want to move from the arena of art and entertainment to another arena that needs roaring lambs in it desperately, and I'm talking about the arena of what we call politics. And with us to help understand how we can not only enter that arena but capture it is Nathan Kistler. He is the director for our ministry on Capitol Hill called Hope to the Hill. He's also himself a very accomplished singer and a songwriter, and just does a lot of things in the music industry, but now serving full-time on Capitol Hill. Nate, let me ask you a couple of questions here. You are in D.C. primarily as a minister, but the ministry we have there steps over into the political arena, in that we encourage policies to be implemented that are biblical in nature. So it's not really politics, but it does influence the political. Can you speak to how, as a minister, you can influence and are influencing policy in Washington, D.C.?
Yes. You know, it's incredible. Last night, to open this up, we had a wonderful birthday party for a very special, special lady who's worked for presidents. She's worked with the United States Congress. Her name is Ruth Mizell. She's 95 years old today. So, Ruth, if you're listening, happy birthday, and we love you so much. And Miss Ruth has been involved for so many years in many different avenues of government. But Miss Ruth has given – she's actually the one who gave me the first opportunity to sing in the United States Capitol just about a few years ago. And through that, God has used music as an avenue to open up doors of ministry. And last night, once again, for her birthday party in Washington, she had me sing a few times, and there were members of Congress there, members of Congress wives, that I had not met before. And it was such a privilege to be able to be part of that. And so God has opened up wonderful doors of ministry for us there in that way, and I'm so excited about what he's doing.
Fellas, let's do this. Nate, let me have you call back because your connection is just a little bit rough there. And let me go to Sam right quick, because Sam, you have served in the arena of what's deemed the political or called the political. You served 18 years in the Pennsylvania legislature. And obviously, your first focus and your first emphasis is your Christian faith. You are also a minister of the gospel. So hitchhike, if you would, Sam, off of what Nate was just saying there about how we, though we're ministers of the gospel, we're trying to influence policy, whether it be on the state level or national level. That's not a bad thing. That's part of our calling as Christians, and it certainly as preachers as well. So comment on that, if you would.
Well, Dave, absolutely correct that it is something that should be of interest to all of those who believe to have these aspects, these five pillars, as you would call them out here, in the culture to be influenced. And the reason that that is that from a biblical worldview perspective, we understand that God established all of these areas. He established the whole concept of society and government and the church, and he designed the family, all of these things. And every one of them, Dave, this is the bottom line, really every one of these areas that God has created really for our benefit. I mean, arts and entertainment, it should be for our benefit, for our learning, for our edification. Music, as Amber talked about in that last segment. God created music for us. However, these things, if they're not influenced by people who have a fear of God and have an understanding that all of these things were established to bring credit and glory to God, if that is done, all of these things work together, and you really have a blessed, unified society, a happy community, a nation blessed of God. But if these areas are hijacked by the devil, by sinful orientate, where you can take the arts and entertainment as an example, and you can turn it into pornography, right? And then we're talking about in the last segment with Amber. Part of the reason is I think maybe there's a little bit of a swing is because Christian thought left arts and media, and what filled it? Nothing but evil. and it's become so distasteful, so destructive, that perhaps there's a little bit swinging back. Well, the political is the same way, and because those who are there, Dave, are going to make the determination of making decisions that are going to be helpful and blessed of God, or they're going to be just the opposite. So that is why the political, if we've stepped out of it, as I think the church has for a long time, who has filled it? People who don't understand who God is, same as those who filled the arts and entertainment industry when Christians got out. We don't have that option. We have to stay in, let our light shine throughout.
You know, Nate, well, you've been involved with ministry down there in Washington. I mean, God has given you a great ministry with your dad down through the years. I just had to chuckle to myself a little bit ago when I first met you. You were about knee-high to a short snake. And look how you've grown, and look how God is using you. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that to your dad the other day. I'm just proud of the way that you've grown up and the Lord is using you. But as you're there in Washington, D.C., what is the single greatest way to exert influence within the context of our capital city? I mean, you are right in the midst of the swamp, as it were. Why don't you speak about how you can influence people down there and what you think is the most effective way to influence people for truth?
Kindness in Washington, D.C., I have found is an invaluable resource with people when you treat them with love and kindness. I have a gentleman that delivers our mail to the office every day, and he's been making the same route for over 20 years. And he stops by the office every day, and we talk, and we laugh together. And I found out over the years that that he's a Christian. And he said something to me the other day. We were talking. We got a picture together. And he said, you know, brother, he said, I hope you never leave this city. He said, because we need people like you who smile and who have joy on their countenance. And I took that as one of the greatest compliments that I could ever be given. Because people notice when you have joy in your countenance. And so I spend a lot of time with staffers, with members of Congress, and we're just kind to them. They don't forget that. They remember that, and I don't get preachy with them. We build relationships. I was telling someone last night, you know, D.C., ministry on Capitol Hill is unique in the sense that we build special bonds and relationships with people who don't trust anyone. Typically, they're very distrusting, and so we have to take the time and put in the effort when so many people, you know, people expect to show up at times and just, you know, say, well, God loves you, and or you're going to hell, whatever it is that people say, and those things are good in their own right. But when it comes to Washington, D.C., you have to take the time and put the effort in to create and build friendships and relationships with people so they trust you enough to listen to what you have to say. And so, you know, if we share the gospel with people, I firmly believe that with young people, sharing the gospel is vital because they are the future leaders of our nation. You know, I spend time with members of Congress. It's wonderful. I love that. But I love to spend time with staffers because I know and I understand that they are there for the purpose of building relationships for the future. Because they want to run for Congress someday. So these are the young people that are going to be making those decisions. And if we help them build a biblical worldview someday, very soon, when they are in power, they will have the proper worldview and the biblical worldview to make the proper decisions that must be made from the biblical worldview. And so I firmly believe that. And God has granted us such a wonderful ministry to be able to do that and be in the center of what's going on. My mom calls me Forrest Gump a lot because God, a lot of times we laugh because it's just amazing the places that I could never get in on my own. That it's just a God thing. I end up in the most random events at times by accident, or people walk, you know, by, you know, that I could never find if I tried to connect and have a meeting with them. And so God places us in specific situations that are preordained, and so I'm very thankful for that and everything that He has done in our ministry there.
I remember you, Forrest Gump, from here on in. Believe you me.
See, Nate, we've got about 40 seconds. We're going to have to go into the break, but you're a young man, And many of the millennials around the country, certainly in Washington, D.C., they view the nation's capital as a completely dirty place, and they either aggressively condemn involvement in the political or they just simply avoid it. What would you say to those who've adopted either of those mindsets? They're avoiding involvement or they condemn involvement. You're a young man. What would you say to them?
You know, honestly, if I were to be completely honest, I really feel that a lot of people are lazy when it comes to, their faith and sharing their faith and touching on and in places where we must. And so don't be lazy. We need to get up and share the gospel and take the time to build relationships with people, because that is a key avenue to sharing the gospel, especially in Washington, D.C.
Well, friends, you've been listening to Nathan Kistler, director of Hope to the Hill. We're talking about being a roaring lamb. And when we come back, we're going to delve into the highly controversial, taking up perhaps the most untouchable of all venues with the gospel and truth, public education. Can that venue ever be influenced again with the gospel? Find out after this brief timeout.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, our discussion today is becoming roaring lambs with respect to our culture. And we've discussed two arenas in which we can and should, as Christians, be exerting great influence. And the third area we're going to talk about is upcoming. But before we go there, I just want to give you a little bit of a program note. Earlier today, right before we went on air, the President of the United States spoke at the UN in New York City. And I just want to say this. I watched the entire speech. It is an absolutely amazing and in many ways an unprecedented speech. We're going to be analyzing that speech. We're going to be delving into what he had to say, those that he called out. And friends, believe me, he did call out rogue nations in a clarion fashion. In the speech today at the UN, he called for a lot of things that we're going to be talking about on tomorrow's program. So I want to encourage you to tune in. We just didn't have time to set up today's program to be able to discuss that today, but we will be going into that in great detail tomorrow. But now let's talk about this third area where we need to be roaring lambs, and it is a controversial area. because I'm talking about the field or the venue of public education. One of the sponsors on this program is BJU Press. They specialize in homeschool and private Christian school curriculum. And by the way, my wife and I used BJU Press materials with all three of our children. And we had to do that because of our travel schedule and, of course, homeschool our children. And I can say this unequivocally, BJU Press curriculum is outstanding. It more than equipped our three children to function well in college, as well as, more importantly, in life. So I highly recommend it. But what about those who have to go to a public school? Gary, let me ask you this. Is the public education system in which a believing young person is a participant, is it a place where they cannot just survive? Is it a place where they can thrive and be a roaring lamb? I'd love to have your thoughts on that.
That's a very good question. And of course, we've talked about education, public education versus Christian education versus home education on this program before. And I will say this, that not in my opinion, but I've got a conviction that parents should do everything that they can to see that their children are involved in good Christian education, whether that's a Christian school or home education, homeschooling, whatever the case may be. But as to your question, certainly we know that it's not always possible for a Christian family to send their children to a Christian school or to homeschool them. And so that child is in the public school, in the government school, as we often call it. And I believe, Dave, in fact, I know it's a fact, that you take a good, solid Christian young person or teenager and put them in the government school, they can be salt and light there. And this is something that the Word of God teaches us, that wherever we are, whether it's in school or employment or whatever the case may be, we are to be ambassadors for Christ. And so to answer your question shortly, quickly, directly, yes. If a child, if a Christian child, Christian young person is in the public school, they are there, I would believe, under the allowance of the Lord to be shining as lights for Christ in that area, in that arena, so as to make an influence for Christ. Shine out for Christ, speak up for Christ, and watch how Christ will use you, young person, if you happen to be in that condition, that position.
Sam, let me go to you. And before I ask you a question, I want to just cite something that is an observation of mine over the last close to 30 years plus. We have a youth camp in Washington State. I just came from there in the month of August, preaching there as I do every 3 years or so. And over the years, I have noticed we have young people that come to that camp from a homeschool background. They come there from a public school environment. Some of them come from a Christian school. And the attendees, the young people that attend the camp, are basically about one third from each, one third public, one third home, one third Christian school educational situation. And what I've noticed is basically this: if that child that's there at camp comes from a good home, I mean a solid, solid Christian home, and they come from a reasonably good to good church, that the school part of the equation is not that important. Let me explain it this way. If you put it into this mathematical equation, home plus church plus school equals, and on the other end of the equal sign, you've got a good young person, a young person that is doing well and following God, the part of the equation that is least significant down through 30 plus years has been the school part of the equation, which means the home is by far and away the most important. So Sam, again, as a preacher of the gospel, as a man who's been involved in the political arena for many, many years, talk a little bit about that and how parents, no matter what the school part of the equation is, can train their young people to be roaring lambs in the culture.
Well, Dave, the fundamental thing, and I think you put your hand on it, the fundamental thing, which is really not observed by as many as need to be, is that education is the primary God-given responsibility of the parents. Now, where that is fully understood, where that's really seriously understood, and the parents are actively, purposely, intentionally building in biblical principles, praying, talking about biblical stories, giving examples of working these things through as commanded in the Old Testament, where we deal with our children and we teach them what God has done from the time they get up, walk through the day, go to sleep. That's really that's the part. If that is fully understood, you could, by just the home itself, even if you didn't have a church to go to or a school to go to or whatever, the child could still turn out. However, we know that the church is critical. So you go to a bad church, right? Church doesn't preach the gospel, it's going to have an impact. Schools, though, Dave, become critically important because the child is spending so much time there, more time in school than in a church. So it can be done, but the key is a biblical, a Christian education. It's got to be taught primarily from the home, best if augmented in the school, and absolutely assured and consistently taught and reinforced across the spectrum of biblical teaching from the church. That's really the best scenario.
Well, Sam, I could not agree with you more. I think you've hit the nail squarely on the head. If we're talking about the best possible scenario, it's when all three, home, church, and school, are going the same direction, teaching the same worldview, which is a biblical worldview. But friends, let me encourage you about something. What Sam said that needs to be underscored with giant exclamation points on it is the home is the key. The home is the key. Neither the church nor the school can replace what the parents have as a God-given responsibility with respect to their children. And so we need to take that responsibility seriously. Gary, we always try to conclude this program in prayer, and I want you to take us to the throne of grace and pray that those that are listening, that we as God's people will be exactly what Bob Briner said, because it's a biblical concept. We need to be roaring lambs in the culture in which we find ourselves. So take us to the throne of grace in prayer quickly, if you would.
Father, we thank you for teaching us in your word what you would have us to be as a roaring lamb, as your ambassadors. I just pray that you'll give us all the strength to do that. No matter where you put us, may we shine our lights brightly for the cause of Jesus Christ. Give us that strength and courage, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, join us tomorrow on Stand in the Gap Today. We're going to analyze the president's speech today at the UN. And until then, 23 hours from now, you stand up and roar like a lion into the culture. And stand up for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.